Hello and welcome to today's episode of The Quad Shot, where we help you down and digest the day's most pertinent cancer news. It's May 4th, 2020. Welcome to The Quadcast. First up, five's a dime. Many of us have been treating breast cancers with five-fraction adjuvant radiation for all of a few weeks. And now we have a published manuscript to back it up. In uniquely British style, the UK Phase 3 Fast Forward trial randomized nearly 4,100 women to one of three adjuvant whole breast radiation arms, one being the standard of 40 gray and 15 daily treatments, and the other two being strikingly similar, yet a tad different. Arm 2 received 27 gray and 5 daily treatments, and arm 3 received 26 gray and 5 daily treatments. A quarter of patients in all arms received a tumor bed boost, usually of 10 gray and 5 daily treatments. The primary endpoint was non-inferiority in local recurrences with the 5-fraction regimens as compared to the standard 15-fraction regimen, pre-specified as an absolute difference less than 1.6% or a hazard ratio less than 1.81. Realized local recurrence rates at 5 years for arms 1 to 3 were 2.1%, 1.8%, and 1.4%, respectively. In other words, 5-fraction whole breast regimens definitely resulted in non-inferior tumor control. The obvious next question is cosmesis, which was graded by physicians, patients, and even blinded reviewers looking at photographs. When compared to arm 1, the rate of at least moderate cosmetic changes per physician were significantly higher in arm 2 at 15%, as compared to just 10% in arm 1, but this was not statistically significantly different in arm 3 at just 12%. Similarly, patients and blinded reviewers graded worse cosmesis in arm 2, but not arm 3, when comparing to arm 1. The bottom line is, adjuvant whole breast radiation to 26, but not 27, gray delivered in 5 daily fractions achieves non-inferior local tumor control without notable differences in late cosmetic outcomes. Thanks to Brunt et al., Lancet, 2020. Up second, flashback. Now, in case we've convinced you to consider 5-fraction whole breast radiation, we thought we might dive into some of the details, because you might be wondering, how do I do it? So if you look at the flash-forward technique, the breast CTV was defined as all parenchymal soft tissue 5 millimeters below the skin, excluding muscle and bone. The PTV margin was 1 centimeter. The planning goals were that, first, at least 95% of the PTV receives 95% of the dose. Second, there was a max dose constraint of 110%. Also, less than 2% was to receive greater than 107%, and finally, less than 5% receives greater than 105%. Organs at risk goals were mainly ipsilateral lung V8 gray, less than 15%, heart V1.5 gray, less than 30%, and heart V7 gray, less than 5%. These goals were for the whole breast portion only. Any additional boost dose didn't count toward the constraints. Again, there was no clever boost scheme, so patients had to double treatment time for a whole extra week of 10 gray and 5 fractions if they were getting a boost. The bottom line is, if you're comfortable with 15 to 16 fraction breast planning, there's nothing dramatically different with this 5-fraction approach. Brunt, Lancet, 2020. Up next, profound defects. A sizable portion of men with metastatic castrate-resistant prostate cancer have defects in their tumor's homologous recombination DNA repair pathway. Such defects make tumors sensitive to the effects of PARP inhibitors. In the PROFOUND trial, men with metastatic castrate-resistant prostate cancer with mutations in DNA repair genes who progressed on enzalutamide or abiraterone were randomized to receive either the physician's choice of enzalutamide or abiraterone, basically a switch, or the PARP inhibitor olaparib. Roughly two-thirds had also received prior taxane therapy. Among all men screened for the trial, 28% had eligible DNA repair defects. The most frequent were BRCA2, CDK12, and ATM. There were two study cohorts, those with mutations in BRCA1, BRCA2, or ATM, and then those with mutations in other DNA repair pathway genes. Among the 245 men in the first cohort, olaparib resulted in a 33% objective response rate and significantly doubled the primary endpoint of radiographic progression-free survival, taking it from 3.6 to 7.4 months. An interim analysis of median overall survival was encouraging, with an improvement from 15 to 19 months. Progression-free survival was also significantly prolonged in the overall cohort, but the magnitude was smaller, suggesting much of the improvement was driven by the primary cohort. The bottom line is, olaparib prolongs disease control in men with progressive, metastatic, castrate-resistant prostate cancer and mutations in BRCA1, BRCA2, or ATM. Thanks to DeBono et al., New England Journal of Medicine, 2020. Up next, moving the needle. Margin-negative resection is the key treatment for localized Merkel cell carcinoma, with adjuvant radiation, not chemo, serving to reduce the risk of local regional recurrence. Recently, immune checkpoint inhibitors have established a role in the treatment of advanced and metastatic Merkel cell carcinoma. Here we have a cohort study of the CheckMate 358 trial that gave just two cycles of neoadjuvant nivolumab to patients with resectable Merkel cell carcinoma, which included de novo tumors that were greater than 2 centimeters in size, node positive, or oligometastatic, as well as greater than 1 centimeter local regional recurrences. The majority of patients, at over 60%, had node positive disease that was Merkel cell polyomavirus positive. 17 out of 36 patients who underwent surgery, or a whopping 47%, had pathologic complete response, with another 15% achieving what the authors defined as a major pathologic response. The study was small, but no patient with a past CR had a tumor recurrence at a median follow-up of over 20 months. The bottom line is, neoadjuvant nivolumab has a nearly 50% past CR for resectable Merkel cell carcinoma. Thanks to Topalian et al., Journal of Clinical Oncology, 2020. Up next, take heart. How much cardiac risk do standard whole breast tangents actually bring? We like to think it's less than reported in the quote-unquote classic studies that use treatments from the 1970s, but the problem is that really long-term follow-up is required to give us any good answers. Now, we at least have long-term data from a trial that started in the 1990s. Across nearly 1,200 women with PT1 to PT2 N0 breast cancers, randomized to plus or minus adjuvant whole breast conventionally fractionated radiation, the cumulative rate of cardiac mortality 20 years was 13% with adjuvant radiation versus 12.4% without radiation. For the 157 patients with accessible CT-based 3D treatments for review, mean heart dose for left-sided treatments was 3 gray. For comparison, that number for matched cases from 2017 was 1.5 gray, meaning that with modern planning techniques, we can get the cardiac doses even lower than reported in this study. So the bottom line is, modern-day whole breast tangents employing deep inspiratory breath hold likely confer no appreciable risk of cardiac mortality. Killender et al., Red Journal, 2020. Up next, SCCUP work. When it comes to head and neck squamous cell carcinoma of unknown primary, it can be tough to feel confident in your treatment decisions. That's because shifts in disease etiology and changes in treatment technique have made those decisions more nuanced than just treating all mucosal sites and bilateral neck. Here are the ASCO expert consensus guidelines for the management of squamous cell carcinoma of unknown primary. It is a great step-by-step guide on workup, surgical management, and radiation and chemotherapy. The radiation section is thorough and gives concrete mucosal site coverage recommendations based on histological characteristics and nodal sites by carefully considering the nodal levels involved, as well as HPV and EBV status, one can almost always narrow mucosal coverage to a single site, such as oropharynx, nasopharynx, or larynx/hypopharynx. The bottom line is, the ASCO consensus guidelines are a great resource to optimize management of squamous cell carcinoma of unknown primary. Thanks to Megami et al., JCO, 2020. Up next, knowledge. It can help when making decisions. Despite a data void on the utility of mammography screening in women over 75 years of age, over half continue undergoing them indefinitely. This randomized trial, as published in JAMA Internal Medicine 2020 by Schoenberg et al., demonstrates that receiving an informational pamphlet in the mail on the risk and benefits of continued screening resulted in more women over 75 years of age opting out of their screening test. Up next, bad PR. This novel study, published in JAMA Network Open 2020 by Travert, measuring endogenous levels of both progesterone and its metabolites, reports a linear increase in breast cancer risk when levels are elevated. Finally, Tamakov. We've still no study to hang our hats on, but we do have an announcement. According to an NIH statement, among over 1,000 enrollees, randomization to remdesivir rather than placebo for the treatment of COVID-19 significantly hastened time to recovery from 15 to 11 days, and numerically, it improved mortality from 12 to 8%, NIH, 2020. This concludes today's episode of The Quad Shot. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and subscribing to our podcast. Also, check out our website at www.quadshotnews.com and subscribe to our newsletter. We'll catch you next time.